Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Are you happy to be in the house of God today? If you're happy, let me know it. Praise God, what a great day today. It is a great day to have a great day. I want to say welcome to Gateway Life Church here today. I love you. You are my family. I thank God for the family that God builds, and I trust that you're all well. Like, I really do mean that. I trust that you're well. And if you're not well today, then I want to congratulate you for making a great decision to be in the house of God where the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is, so that you can be made well. And I really do believe that by the time our service concludes today, that hasn't already happened for you, that by the time you walk out of these doors, every single one of us would have had a shift in our hearts and in our minds when it comes to being more like Jesus, because it's Jesus that we want to be more like. Can I get a big amen? It's Him that we want to be more like. Well, today as we come around God's Word, and part four in our Unlimited series, I really do feel the leading of the Holy Spirit wanting me to talk about the Holy Trinity of God and how we ourselves are a triune being. And then I have two exciting and history-making announcements to share with you, which I really do believe are a great testimony to the series that we're in. And most of you would know that the series preceding this one was My Heart and My House. And I just want to remind all of us that, you know, nothing is wasted in God. And I really do believe that that series has set us up for this series and also set us up for the things that I'm going to announce later on in my message today. You see, it's line upon line. Precept upon precept. And so I just know that as people allowed the Holy Spirit to bring about change and shifts in their own heart during the series of My Heart and My House, I believe because of those of us who were obedient to the Word of God and to the will of God, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in that series. Now I'm going to reveal to you what's next. And this is what today and the two announcements are all about. We don't understand everything about the Holy Trinity, but we understand most things. For example, we understand that the Holy Trinity are three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. We also understand that we ourselves are a triune being. I don't know if you know that. Perhaps there are some who are new to the faith and you don't understand necessarily that we ourselves are a triune being. We are, number one, spirit. We are a spirit. Number two, we are a soul. And we are also a body. And the reason why we're a triune being is because we're created in the image of God. And we read, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us, He didn't say, let me, Son, Holy Spirit, let me do this. No, He's like, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And so the outer circle of our triune being, is that part of us that touches the material world through our five senses, through what we see, through what we smell, taste, touch and hear. It's that part of us, the outer circle, the body part of us that also outworks the will of God through our hands and through our feet as we go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples, and to transform community and culture. It's that part of us that God uses. God looks for a willing host, a gateway, to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and it's that part of us that goes. The next realm or the inner circle of our being is the soul realm, which is made up of also three parts. Number one, the mind, the imaginations, the reasonings and our memories. Number two, our will, the choices that we make. It's that will part of us that makes choices. And number three, our emotions, that which we feel. It's the soul realm. Now, the Bible says, in case you don't know, the Bible says that Adam was created from the dust of the earth. Isn't that amazing? God scooped up, as it were, some dust from the earth, created man, and we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, his spirit, and man became a living soul. Now, this part of my message, I think, is really going to help just a number of people as you just begin to learn a little bit more about yourself, as you begin to learn a little bit more as to why you sometimes feel what you feel. Now, because we're created from the dust of the earth, our soul realm can experience many changes and many shifts in our moods, which are primarily motivated by what's happening around us or because of a particular season in life. Just as the earth itself constantly experiences seasons of change, there are four seasons in the year, and shifts within the plates of the ocean floor, which is why people who allow the soul realm of their life to control and dominate their life are never at rest, and they're never at peace within themselves. So there's actually a connection, as it were, between, just the reasons why we go through so many changes in our emotions and feelings and thoughts and moods, because the earth itself is constantly changing. You would have seen it, you would have experienced it yourself. When it's a dark day, when it's cold and when it's wet and kind of gloomy, the souls of people can also behave in like manner. But we're in spring in Aubrey Wodonga, the promised land, on the planet Aubrey Wodonga. Why would you not want to live in Aubrey Wodonga? It is beautifully positioned. It is a gateway. It's called the gateway to the two major capitals in our nation. You would notice that when spring is here, when things are crisp and warm, everyone's mood is up. Why is that? It's because people primarily can allow the outer to influence their inner. And so all unrest, all complaining, sighing, fears, and anxiety have its roots tapped into the soul realm of man, who fights to stay alive and lives for the approval of man according to the things of this life. Many of you would know that I'm a Collingwood supporter. Why is that funny? And I'm passionate about Collingwood. And I was at my mum's last night watching the footy, because it's just another way that I can connect with my mama. And Ace was there, and we're having a fun time, and our heads are kind of hanging a little bit low going into the last quarter of the game. We're saying it's over, and that's it. But then, of course, Collingwood began to come back, and we're now like on the edge of our seats, and I can't sit down, and Ace can't sit down. If Mum could, she would have stood up, but she couldn't. And, so Ace and I were like high five, and I was like, oh my gosh, we're in the last 2 minutes of the game. And it's in the forward line, and it's like, oh, is it going to happen? And then, bomb. It's like, oh man. Now it's like we encountered two deaths. The first grief was like, it's over. Then we got so close, and then like, it's over. I don't know what I would prefer, but there's so many like depressed fans right now Why is that? It's because their hope is in something that can win or lose. Their hope is in something that shifts and changes. Their hope is in something that is unpredictable. But you see, the reason why I can stand up here and smile and be so excited and so expectant to be on this platform and because of the things that God is doing is because my faith is in something that is unshakable. My eternity is secure. My future is sure because of what Christ has done, and so is yours. But comparatively speaking, the spiritual man or the spiritual woman, they live by faith according to God's word because he knows, they know that God loves them, cares for them, and that all things are working together for good to the glory of God, no matter what it is. They have a presence of mind that says, well, that might not be all that good, but I know because my God loves me, I know it's going to turn around for good. And all I got to do is just wait. All I got to do is be still, like Fajita, so passionately and so well communicated and encourage us to do today. Sometimes all you got to do is just sit down and wait and see the salvation of God. The spiritually minded person, they lay down their life, they lay down their rights, and they rest in the unshakable kingdom of God that never changes. My friends, that is the secret to living in eternity on this side of eternity. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let your faith be in Christ, and you'll be happy. And then the core of our being is the Spirit, which is the seed of faith, the seat of faith, the seat of prayer, the seat of devotion, worship, and truth. And this is why Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, "God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." The spirit part of us is the core part. And some believe that the spirit and the soul are the same, but they're not the same. And this is going to help some people, both here and online, as you get a greater perspective of the difference between the spirit and the soul. The body needs the spirit in the same way that your electrical appliance needs electricity to function and to work. Think about your mobile phone, for example. What happens with extensive usage of your phone? The battery on the inside, which is rechargeable, it begins to go flat. That's why sometimes we feel a little bit flat. It's the result of extensive usage. And so what we need to do is connect, as it were, the phone to the life source, being electricity. What happens when the battery goes flat? You can't use it anymore. It's not much good for communicating, messaging, contacting, anything like that. But furthermore, what happens if I took all of your mobile phones and removed the battery? What would happen? Your phone would be dead. And just as the battery to your phone is the life source, the power, the electricity to the phone, so it is with the spirit that is within our bodies. Have you ever, you know, said of someone, "Wow, that person has a lot of spirit"? What are we saying? We're saying that person has a lot of charge, has a lot of get up and go. That person has some enduring power. In James chapter 2, verse 26, it was James who penned God's word when he said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." The Bible is clear that the spirit and the soul refer to two different realms. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, get this, to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Can you see why we need to come to the Word of God? You see, it's not just any word. There are a lot of words that we hear as human beings. A lot of those words come from the world. A lot of those words come from the devil. But God said that my sheep, they hear my voice, and another voice they don't follow. I want to ask you right now, what voice are you following? Because that voice is leading you somewhere. That voice is taking you somewhere. There is great power in words. Just be careful which words you're following and obeying. Because the Word of God, it separates what is of the spirit and what is of the soul. And the reason why we get so confused in our faith walk is because there's a mix of the two. But getting back now to the Holy Trinity of God, now that we've spoken about our triune being. In the Bible, God the Father is the great visionary. It's like he's the great chief. He's the one who says, "Let us make man in our image." He's the one who decrees, "Let there be light, and let all creation come into being," and so on, and it is so. And Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus is the doer of what the Father desires. Jesus is the totality of God, the Word made flesh, and the exact representation of God the Father. Jesus is the doer of the will of the Father. In John chapter 5, verse 19, we read, "So Jesus explained, 'Truly, truly.'" I like how it says it twice. If Jesus says truly once, that's enough. But there must be a great emphasis when he says it twice. "Truly, truly." He says the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You see, Jesus is the doer in the Trinity. Jesus is God's glory and the total will of God. He's the total will of God in action. He is love in action. He is grace in action, mercy in action, and compassion in action. He is fully God in action within a human body. All that God the Father is and desired was accomplished through Jesus. And so there was God in the flesh through Jesus Christ, and they touched Jesus. And Jesus, through the outer part of his being, touched them. And he held their hands. And he sat with them. And he ate food with others. This is also what God wills for us, to do the same, to sit with people. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, and our hands have touched." Okay, well, I'm getting ready to land this message before we move on to two history-making announcements. I want you to picture this. If Jesus had stayed on the earth in the flesh, I'm talking about after his resurrection, after his bodily resurrection, just imagine that, you know, he was raised from the dead, but he remained on the earth. I just want to say that Jesus' presence and Jesus' power would have been limited. Think about it. He went to the cross, he dies, on the third day he's raised bodily, but just imagine if he stayed on the earth. His presence and his power, this is like a different perspective. It would have been limited. For example, if you wanted to draw near to Jesus, as James chapter 4 verse 8 encourages us to do, draw near to him and he will draw near to you, then you would need to fly to Jerusalem to see Jesus. And apart from going through long checks and customs at the airport, you would most likely need to go through a very long process to make a short appointment to see Jesus because of the hundreds of thousands of people also lining up with their needs. And when you finish your appointment, Jesus can't go with you because he is limited to one place at a time and one location. But then we read, however, the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 16, verse 7, when he said to his disciples, before he departed, he said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And in John chapter 14, verse 26, we read, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have spoken to you." And now I'm going to land really the main point of my message today. Because of what Jesus has done, because he lived perfectly according to the Ten Commandments, because he did die for the sins of man, and because he has also sent us the Holy Spirit, we now, each one of us, have Christ Jesus not only with us, but in us, unlimited. We don't have to fly to Jerusalem to have a physical one-to-one with him. Jesus is not only with us, but he is in us. And I want to give someone the opportunity today to respond to Jesus, because Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone will open up the door unto me, I will come in and I will sit with them and I will dine and sup with them and we will be one." And I wonder if there is someone here today who wants to allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come into their life. I'm going to give you that opportunity at the end of our service today. We have Jesus with us, unlimited. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can have as much of Jesus as you hunger and thirst for. And it's such a beautiful thing, don't you think, when you see a new convert give their life to Jesus and they just begin to grow. And they just begin to soar. Why is that? Because they're hungry for the things of God. The only qualification you need to grow in the things of God really is a hunger and a thirst for him.
Yep.
That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you need. Just a hunger. What are you hungering for? Because you're hungry for something. You're thirsting for something. Whereabouts are you getting your fill? Is it the things of this world? I tell you, if your thirst and hunger is for the things of this world, you will thirst and you will hunger again and again and again and again and again and again and again till you have no more strength and you think, what is this life all about? This life promises so much and it delivers nothing. That was my story before I came to know Jesus. You see, on the outside, life was going very well. But on the inside, I was encountering one greater depth of poverty after another. On the outside, there was this incredible paradox taking place. On the outside, on the outer part of my being, it's like this. On the inner part of my being, it's like this. Literally like this. I was so confused. But then I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And something began to light up on the inside of me. And I'm like, in my head, I don't know what this is, but this feels good. This feels pure. This feels like the thing I've been looking for all my life. This feels like something that is out of this world. This feels like something that is not on this planet. And of course, it's the kingdom of God. And you too can enter that kingdom by the time we conclude today. Jesus goes on and he declares in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, "Now that I'm with you," he says, "go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And we should give the Lord a mighty hand of praise, because his plan for our life. Lo, I am with you. I am with you always. Come on now. That's good news. That's good news. Hey, I know there are some things that we've got to walk alone in this world. Even though Christ is with me, and I have you as my family, who I know love and encourage and support me, and so it is with me toward you. But there are some things that, and I just feel the Holy Spirit wanting me to remind someone, there are some things that we need to walk alone. Because it's in that moment where the Holy Spirit wants to teach us, not fellowship with man, but fellowship with the Holy Spirit. To teach us about him and who we are in him, and so that we can encourage others in him. Well, this brings me now to two history-making announcements that I feel very honored and very excited to make. And before I give you the first one, I want to read out to you a prophetic declaration that my wife and I penned. It's a prophetic declaration, number 7. We penned these declarations. There are 12 of them. You can go to our webpage. And prophetic declaration number 7 states that I see a church that establishes campuses, plants churches, and provides extension services. A church where every nation, tribe, and tongue gather under one Lord, called to one faith, and into one baptism. The first announcement that I want to make today, and this has been like really, the culmination of just, again, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith upon faith, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It was actually when my wife and I had our little mini holiday last weekend when I was in Melbourne that God revealed the next step, the big, as it were, audacious goal. Now, I'm going to share with you a goal. And it's an audacious goal. And unless the hand of the Lord is on it, then it's never going to happen, like everything in the kingdom. And so I'd like to announce today, we have a 30-30 vision. And the 30-30 vision is 30 Gateway Life Church by the year 2030. All glory to God. We are believing for 30 Gateway Life churches across the world by 2030. It'll be a combination of local, regional, national, global. And so far we have 2. To be very specific, Gateway Life Church in Lavington and Gateway Life Church in Gidra. Yeah, come on, let's give the Lord a hand of thanks for that. But I'd also like to announce that we now have a third Gateway Life Church. Oh, hallelujah. And the third Gateway Life Church that God has graced us with is Gateway Life Church, Okara City in Pakistan. It's been an amazing journey, and I haven't got time to go through all of it here today. Are you excited about that? Yes. Wow. So we have now 4 services every weekend, 10 a.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. Sunday, 5 p.m. Sunday, and also now 9:30 a.m. In Okara City in Pakistan, which is 2:30 p.m. in Australian time, because they are 5 hours behind us. I'm talking to Pakistan probably 5 to 6 times a week at the moment, and I am loving the journey. Like I said, I haven't got time to share the whole story with you, but I've been keeping our elders on the journey, obviously my wife, Trina, and members of the board. And so it's been a very exciting journey, and I've just been really impressed with the spirit of Pastor Sharif and his wife, their family, and the team. I'm having a very both inspiring time and a funny time. I'm going to show you a video which goes for about 3.5 minutes. We connect via Zoom, and so I'm going to show you the video in a moment. And once we had actually established that, it's going to be a Gateway Life Church, so they understand that it's one vision, one mission, one set of core values, 12 prophetic declarations, and the rest of it. So we're having this time of Q&A, right? And I said, any questions, blah, blah, blah. And Pastor Sharif had a question. He said, yes, Pastor. He said, now that you are the senior pastor of our church, which is amazing. You're the founder. You're the spiritual father. What would you like? He's like this. What would you like my title to be? Now, they started this church just over 17 years ago. About, almost like this, about the same time as we did. And so I just want to say that when he asked that question, all it did in me was create all manner of blessing, humility, love, and service. And so it's just, I share that story because it's a testimony of the spirit that's on them. Humility, I tell you, God says that he exalts the humble. And Tim Hicks and his family couldn't be here today. Tim's one of our elders. It says, when my bishop mentioned to me that he believes that God has revealed his plans for 30 Gateway Life churches by 2030, my first thought was, yes, of course. It sat so comfortably in my spirit that it almost feels like it has already happened. And I loved that. I loved that. That was powerful. I also believe that by Gateway partnering with Okara City, our eyes will be opened and our faith will rise. And they will encourage and show us what can be done by having absolute faith in Jesus. What I want to do now is just show you a quick video, and I just want to give you a little bit of context. So this was one of our, we'd spoken for about 90 minutes during the Zoom call, but I've picked it up at a point because next Sunday is the official launch of Gateway Life Church, okay, in Pakistan. It's the official launch. They're announcing it today, and so we're planning, we're expecting, hoping, praying, expecting over 200 people in that service. I'm going to show you some photos in a moment as well. And but this was, at this point in the video, it's going to start with Raja, the son, asking me, he's like, you are the senior pastor, you're the founder. What, he goes, what should be in the dinner? Because God's put it on our heart, Trina's in my heart, to fund the lunch next Sunday. They're going to hire dining tables and chairs and everything like that. It's actually really quite cheap, but it's still, it's in our heart to do this. And he's like, what would you like in a Zidina? Right? That's my best version of it. And so it's like, I'm like, you'll see that I'm like, I don't know, like what's available? I don't even know what you guys do. And but anyway, it's like, I got no idea. I'm like, well, what do you think? Yeah, let's go with that. So anyway, let's have a look and enjoy.
Yes, what kind of dish should be in the dinner? I am asking you.
Well,
1 minute, sorry, 1 minute. Actually, there was donkey.
It's a donkey.
Donkey.
Yeah, he's crying. That's why we have some problem to hear. Sorry. Sorry, it's a Pakistani donkey.
It's was like a car going by or a bike tooting the horn or something. I thought something.
There was donkey. There was donkey. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a blessing for us, and we believe we will more multiply with the Gateway Life Church Ministry, and we can more work, and we can more outreach with the Gateway Life Church Ministry, because now you are with us, and your team with us, and your ministry with us, your support and your love with us, and more strong your prayer with us. So obviously we are not alone, we are more blessed each and others. And also God gave us answer, and we are praying for the ministry. And finally God gave us Gateway Life Ministry in Australia. We are thankful to the God, and we are very happy, and we are very excited, and give you honor and give you thanks all the time. My father is saying when you will come in Pakistan, and we will let you visit there, and you feel very blessed, and you will enjoy in Hindus people as well. And they will love you so much when you preach.
Thank you.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. It is also honor for our family, and for my brothers, and for my sister, for my mother, for my father, and for me. And it's a great blessing for us, and to join Gateway Life Church Ministry, and it's a really good for us, and now we are very strong each and other, and we are very closely, and we give you thanks, and please give the greeting to all your team and your group elder, and your special wife and your daughter give us from greeting from Pakistan, and we are day and night we are praying for you, especially with our young boys. We are praying for you. And you are in our heart, and we love you so much. We all family love you so much. And also give the thanks to your wife to give us time for interviews and for giving you each other greetings.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.